Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm on the M50. Beep, 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 wall to wall, as per usual. Doesn't matter what time you leave work. Doesn't matter what time you leave work. Welcome to the car park. And there's a highest beside me. And your man has all the windows down. Like, it's what, 6 degrees? He's all the windows down. He is blaring the tunes and giving it socks. As in, literally. Get. And I keep, you know when you keep levelling with someone?
Yeah.
Because I was in the middle lane and he was in, like, he was on the outside lane. Yeah. And and he kept, like, looking over, like, you, I love that. Wall to wall traffic, you on. But he was having a ball.
I love that.
Have a ball in traffic.
It's not very often you see a car blasting the tunes, and it always puts me in a good humour when
exactly.
somebody
I'm like,
is.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. Yeah,
I love it. I'm like, you're having a great time.
Contagious. Or yeah. if you're behind a car and you see that, like, the parents in the front and the kids are in the back and you can hear the music blaring and they're all having a fucking rave.
I love it.
It is amazing.
More car raves.
What did you call the van?
Oh, yes. What was it?
Hiace.
Ah.
Carla, don't fight me on this. Like,
Hiace.
Mrs. fucking Booker over there. You're very welcome along to the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. What's the story? My name is Jen.
I didn't know what you were doing when I was like, Jen.
I know, true.
Jen, we have a format. You cannot not.
Switched it up a little bit.
It's crazy over
here. We need foam things for these mics.
Why?
Because my Spotify does this thing. I was listening to a podcast during the week and then ours came on immediately after. I was like, oh, we sound tinny. So we need, like, foam things.
That's weird. Every time I go on another podcast.
Oh no, it's the best of shit, it is.
Yeah.
But I think other people use foamy things.
You think we need to be softer?
I think so, yeah. I think we're a bit harsh. Rawr.
So if you're listening to this.
Good news.
We're crystal clear, but we're harsh.
Yeah, we're very harsh. Very good harsh news. Under years. Mortgage approved.
Great, Jen.
Fucking finally.
Delighted.
Delighted.
Delighted for you.
So now we just have to wait in the probing. Just still on going.
Even better news.
What?
My finger has re-knitted itself.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Do you know what's under it now? Did you see it? Did you?
No, but it's re-knitted. Okay. The strength, it's not flip-flop anymore.
I can't talk about fingernails flopping off.
It's just bruising.
Grand.
And a bit of swell.
Lovely.
So it's similar to the probing.
Similar.
Similar
still, we're still waiting to see what the outcome will be, but we're getting there. It's a step ahead. It's a bit off your plate.
It's
something else off
forward.
Your shoulders. Something else off your shoulders.
It's a big sigh of relief over here.
Coming to the end of January, Carla's fingernail is better. I got mortgage approved because I lost the last one.
Because it took too long.
Well, then we're getting there, lads. We're getting there. You got paid today, did you?
I got paid. When did I get paid, Carla? You got paid yesterday. I got paid yesterday. Yeah, so I was able to fill all my subscriptions for my great doctor that I love loads and is really good. If you're looking for a recommendation, go anywhere but here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, can't wait to go and collect it. Ordered it.
So you got your prescription.
Prescription.
Good.
Five. Yeah.
Jesus, what drugs are you on? Do you mind?
The fucking anti-nausea bollocks that he...
Yeah.
The Ponston for some reason. Didn't ask for it.
I'll take a few of them off your hands. Fucking sick of buying ibuprofen. Yeah.
The omeprazole.
Okay.
Or pantoprazole. I'm not sure which one that I was greeted with this time.
Right.
The B12.
Oh, lovely.
And there is a phosphate.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big sleigh.
Jesus.
Yeah.
getting them into you. Yeah, getting the drugs into you.
I'm rallied.
Love it. Yeah. Rattling going down them stairs.
Rattling going down the M50. I was like, stay conscious. Woo.
Got an electric car. Doesn't make a sound. I do.
I do though. Yeah.
I rattle.
Someone said that to me today. They were like, you're a bit chesty, are you?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
You were a bit chesty when you came on here, yeah? You're a bit crackly.
Oh, don't tell me that. That's my vocal fry. That's from singing in the car with your mum.
Exactly, yeah.
That's from duetting.
You're going to have to add clarithromycin there to the fucking prescription.
Probably go back to him and they'll be like, I don't know, trachea removal? Not really sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows? Yeah. All good. Thought the fucking GPs were bad. You haven't met this bad boy.
Speaking of toxic relationships, between Carla
nice
and
segue.
Doctor.
Love it.
That's what this episode is about, and there's been massive contributions from y'all. So I think we should dive right in.
Let's dive right in, shall we?
What exactly did you say in the box? So, give us context.
Let us take a wander back. I think we said in one of our deeper dive Patreon episodes that we were going to do something like this. We had a couple of messages at the time being like, I'd really like you to do this because I'm going through X situation. Mm-hmm. Cannot screenshot them at the time. They're somewhere in my phone. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But we did get another listener request, if you will. Mm-hmm. So And this is the message. I will read the message out to you now. Hey girls, I was wondering if you could do an episode on unhealthy/toxic relationships. My friend is in a 3-year relationship with a guy who's controlling and he treats her like shit. I'm afraid of giving too much info in case that she recognises it. She's only confided in one friend, but we've all obviously discussed it as a group. He tries to isolate her from us, crosses sexual boundaries, calls her an idiot, and makes her feel stupid. She said this herself. It's very hard to explain over text, but it's a combination of 1,000 little things over the last couple of years. She told the one friend she confided in that she's going to give him one more chance, but she's given him 1,000,000 chances. My worry is that it's going to get worse. We don't know how to help her as we're afraid of driving her away. We know the decision to leave has to come from her. We're just wondering what your thoughts and your experiences are on this topic. So that's the initial go and get, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of nuance to the, and look, we're going to put it, we actually have an expert who's coming on in a couple of weeks' time to talk about kind of this, but kind of not.
Yeah, so coming up on Valentine's Day, Women's Aid are releasing their Two Into You campaign, and we have Mary coming on, she's one of the ones who advocates for the campaign itself. So we will have her on to speak about the campaign. It's running from the 14th of Feb to the 8th of March, which is International Women's Day. And so if you do have any questions coming up to, we're recording on the 11th. So if you, before the 11th, if you're listening to this before the 11th and you would like an expert opinion or somebody who has dealt with obviously that kind of, that range of like from something that you might think is innocent to something that is obviously very, very, very sinister, get your questions into us and we can ask Mary at the time.
Because I feel like a lot of the times when me and Jen do these episodes, we'll get a lot of people on the, after listening and going, you know, kind of seeking further either advice or kind of just wanting to chat or vent or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I did want to introduce the episode with the full picture as a bit of a trigger warning for anyone listening now. There'll be a lot of talk about families, unhealthy relationships. There'll probably be a bit of sexual misconduct being talked about. There'll be probably not 100% sure. There'll be some sexual assault. We'll be talking about big trigger warning.
A
more serious episode. I just wanted to kind of give you guys, so you can decide from what you've just heard, what we're going to be talking about.
If you want to keep going,
this is what we will be chatting about. Me and Jen are going to be talking through our listener stories and also through some things that have helped listeners. Trying our best to kind of give advice, but also just talking about the nuances of the many, many relationships that we are in every single day.
Yes, exactly.
Cool.
So we're going to be touching on friendships and family relationships as well. Some of the ones that I feel like friendships and family, toxic family relationships are probably a bit harder to,
I think so
get
too.
Out of.
And I think as we go deeper through the listener submissions, I think we'll be able, I think it'll trigger us.
Oh yeah, we always unlock a few memories over.
Unlock a few memories. So we will try and help. So first of all, we'll go back to the submission. I totally understand you don't want to give too much away in case she is a listener. The mate in a dodgy relationship, to me, it's like a tale as old as time in my life.
It's because you have the outside perspective and you're not in the thick of it.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing you can do. Yeah. That's a huge, singular, but world revolving portion, if not, like, I'm going to say like 90% of their life will be trying to deal with this, and that will always be like, it'll be like the hangover in their brain. I think the only way out of this is if you are speaking with your friendship group about it. The only advice I would give is try not to let it be the kind of culmination. Try not let it take over everything that you talk about.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would try and keep a lid on it, almost, in a way. The reason being, number one, it's only going to hype you up a little bit more. Mm. Number two, speculation will always result. Speculation never results in anything good. I kind of almost feel, I totally understand, in a way, why your friend brought it to the group, because you might think that there's a little bit more help there. But I do think there is something slightly unhealthy with discussing it
with your other friends when she only confided in one.
Yeah. Mm. And I get why. But I also think that that can kind of lead on to unhealthy friendships in another way. Because once, say that's dealt with, or once she stays, like, what part are you going to play in that?
Yeah, like what you say and the opinions you give, they're going to linger even if the relationship ends.
Yeah. So that would just be my only watch out. I think the best thing to do when your friends are in this relationship, or in this kind of relationship, is almost talk to them about anything but. And I don't want to be like, try and introduce hobbies and therapy, but in a way, try and introduce things that take them out of that situation.
Mm.
So if he's kind of controlling about like friendships and relationships, try and kind of try and do something like that seems super positive. Is it a running club? Is it a what? You know, those kind of things. Try and have like almost an activity where it kind of gets her out of that hole.
Mm-hmm.
I would also recommend possibly like trying to steer them toward not like a for you page, but almost try and steer them toward the correct material where there might be a bit more of a realization. She's already coming to.
Yeah.
From what we've heard here, she's already kind of.
See, I don't know about
halfway
that.
There.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Really?
Because mine and Adam's relationship isn't a toxic one, but it's the only way I can compare my situation to, or her situation, and like relate to it in any way. But like, there's sometimes me and Adam would have a fight, and most of the time people don't know that we would have an argument, but when I'm really fucking riled up, that's when I'll say something. So it depends on the mood. Like, if she was feeling really fucked off that day, that's probably the only reason why she said it.
But why is she confiding in one friend? And why is it, like, tries to isolate her from us. Okay, that's personal opinion, but also kind of obvious. Mm. Crosses sexual boundaries.
Yeah, I suppose.
Calls her an idiot, makes her feel stupid, and she has said this herself, and that's what I mean, and makes her feel stupid. It's not the girls being like, and she looks like a tick. It's her saying to the girls, he makes me feel stupid. This isn't a one-off, like, if you kept coming to me and being like...
But that's what I can't really gauge from that message. Is it a one-time, or is it the one friend being told things constantly? I can't...
No, this is... she's confided in this one friend, but she's confiding repeatedly.
Oh, okay. That's
to this
different.
One friend is what
right.
I'm picking up from.
See,
from.
I thought of it as it was just, like, the one time.
Yeah. She said it's a combination of 1,000 things over the last few years. So she has that one friend that she is confiding to probably over the last few years. Mm. That one friend has probably hit a limit now where she's like brought it to the group. And as I said, I understand why it's been brought to the group, but I almost would, in another way, try and watch out as to that kind of culminate, as to that becoming like the group discussion board. Because when it does come out, and it will come out, that you all kind of knew, you're then kind of controlling her feeling a little bit attacked and a little bit isolated from you guys.
Yeah. So it nearly feel like an intervention when it does come out, like.
That's what I mean. And I think that in another way, if somebody was being, if you're in a friendship group and everybody's really good friends, but like Jen has just spoken to me about this, but Jen has spoken to me repeatedly about this over the years, and then you're kind of getting to a point being like, what the fuck do I do here? Mm. I can see why you would turn around. But I think, and that's why I'm saying, I can see why you turn around and confide, but just be careful about how much that becomes.
Yeah, yeah.
That becomes like difficult. My, as I said, my personal experience with it, and there's been a good few, and Stace even wrote in being like, should I not be guest starring on this?
She's so many stories.
Oh, if you haven't listened to her Patreon episode,
it's a good one. It's up on the top of the list of people's.
She still has famous. To come. She actually still has to come back and do first dates because she's had enough of those two. But there is that real. You almost can't show your cards too early as a friend, because that's some things that I've made a mistake in the past where I've been like, he's a fucking clown. Yeah. And hey, lo and behold, a couple of years later, you're like,
they get married.
Yeah, you're sitting there going, ugh. Oops. Yeah, whoopsies.
But I do think like there has to be an allowance for mates being like, well, he's a fucking idiot. How dare he do that to me? You know, like that kind of thing. You're hyping your friend up.
Yeah.
I was recently in a situation where my friend was kind of confiding in me, and it was like we hadn't talked in ages, and then she kind of told me a load of stuff that had been happening. It was kind of like a catch up of all this shit, and I was just like, "You're worth more than that."
Yeah.
You know, like we go to the cinema or we go and do something, and it would kind of remove her from the situation. But generally, especially if you're kind of at the stage of your life where you're only seeing your mate like once every fucking 6 weeks because life just gets in the way, that's kind of all you do when you do meet up, is you catch up, and then you're kind of stuck in this. So I don't even know the context of their relationship. Like, do they hang out? Is it just a like, oh, we'll meet up in 3 weeks or whatever?
Yeah.
So you don't know. It's all that as well, like how often the mates see each other, and that can nearly steer a conversation. And
yeah. Well, look, you what know, we'll do
you're
is...
You're nearly binging on a catch-up then, and it's just like you're spilling the whole thing, and that's all you end up doing together, like, is talking about the relationship or whatever. Or just, I suppose a very important thing as well is just making her realise her worth. And like you say, steer her in the direction of the materials where she might see it. Because, like, even sometimes when you are confiding in a mate, that's their one opinion, and you know them years, and half the time you don't listen. You don't listen.
No.
Like, if you asked your ma, or you said something was gone wrong in your life and your ma told you one thing, you'd be like, no. And then somebody else could say the exact same thing, and you'd be like, oh my God,
no one's ever said that to me.
The salmon of knowledge. Yep. Like, thank you so much for that.
And look, I think it was kind of that message was quite open. So I think as we work through some of the other submissions and some of the other things that people would like us to talk about in this episode, there might be more answers for the listener, and also for anybody listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a long one. Okay, I have a really good story. I had a friend that was my best friend in high school. I was really unpopular in high school, and I found making friends super challenging. I also wasn't a pushover, and I was the type that didn't have a backbone. So any attention from anyone, I took it, and I took that they wanted to be my friend. So anyway, her name was Madison. M-A-D-D-I-S-Y-N.
Oh.
Madison.
Very tropical.
Very foreign.
I'll say tropical.
Very foreign. Orlas. No Aoifes. I thought she was really nice. We met in our orchestra camp during the summer holidays. She was amazing. She was funny, and she was always telling jokes. However, the trouble started whenever we would hang out. It was super awkward. She'd 9 out of 10 times always cancel at the last minute. I'm talking the morning of us catching up or arranging plans. I'd always have to do it on her terms, and it was honestly really awkward. Basically, only if her mother could drop us at the place that we were going to meet, then it was fine. Mind you, this girl did not take public transport. These mind games and her standing me up happened again and again, but naive that I didn't realise that she was being a really bad friend. In fact, she was so naive, she tried giving me her used iPhone 7 Plus as a gesture as to being a good friend to keep the friendship going. Ooh. She'd call me her gay best friend, even though me as a heterosexual man tried telling her not to call me that repeatedly. Basically tried queerbaiting me. geez. And then she'd like always dump her problems on me, problems she'd had with guys without me having a chance to share my own problems. In this friendship, there was no give or take. Super red flag right here. Super red flag right here. One day I'd had enough and I left her as my friend. She tried to get back together as a friendship and sent me a bunch of emails, all to the different email accounts she had found that were mine, after I blocked her phone number and iMessage after the first lockdown of COVID. And I just told her I didn't want to keep the friendship going anymore. Outlined her behaviour, and that, frankly, I don't accept values like that. So this is, you noticed, you recognised it, and you got yourself out of it.
Yeah, that's really good. It's hard, though. It's like,
interesting when they try and kind of grapple you back.
Yeah, when they obviously don't value it in the first place, so what's the fucking point? Like,
but then it's kind of, and that's, and I don't want to be like, I feel sorry for her. Who's the villain here? But maybe she really doesn't recognise that behaviour.
Well, she does. She seriously needs help. But yeah, there are kind of two kinds of toxic people. Ones that do it on purpose because they love control and they want to make you feel small. And then there's others who
are so unaware,
have actually grown up just being brought up like that. And there's so many people, like, even just in my day to day, that I'm like, you're not an evil person. Like, this isn't intentional, but you're a bit shit and you need to be kind of called out on it. You know that? Yeah. There are people who do it unintentionally, and like, realistically, with the amount of kind of awareness these days, there's no excuse for it. But I do think we're in a bit of a mad generation as well, because we're kind of like, and there's a lot of talk around our generation being the ones to kind of change shit up and recognise behaviours that shouldn't have ever been accepted.
Yeah.
And we're kind of changing the trajectory of the way society acts. But then you have the people who are just like, oh yeah, and they can't fucking say it. And these days everybody's wearing PCs. Everybody's wearing fucking sets. The kinds of snowflakes. It's like, no, you're actually very toxic, and
you're the worst.
You manipulate people into
you're actually pretty
it's
bad.
You you're the problem, not me.
Yeah,
I kind of thing, like,
yeah, I think there is that kind of, there's an acknowledgement. I think it's tough if you're a friend who gives 80 and they give 20, and you get to a point where you're like, I'm gonna cut them off, and they start to scramble. I find that a bit more difficult than anything else, because you're battling your old feelings about the friendship as well as trying to like stick your ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you almost have to kind of,
it nearly makes you want to give them a chance just to see, but then it's the same old shite.
And I think sometimes there is a lot of irreparable damage.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's only so much you can take, and then when you have that break in your head, you're like, okay, that's, I don't want to go back to that feeling. I don't want to go back to that feeling of like expectation out of that person and thinking that it's going to be different. And it doesn't matter if it's a friendship or a relationship or whatever, there is that kind of, you build this up in your head where you feel like there's almost hope,
yeah,
and there might be something for you, and then you just continuously, so when you get to that nice, it's almost like a numbing point, when you get to that numbing point and then they flip the switch, it's very hard to kind of try and meet in the middle. I'd like to hear if anybody has actually gotten there and gotten back to a place of really good friendship.
Yeah.
Without it being like a traumatic life event that you could, without it being the event, not them. Do you know that kind of way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's just them, or if it's like maybe they were having, you know, a couple of personal issues or something quite traumatic happening in their background, that you're kind of like, you were a bit shit, but now we're on level grounds.
Yeah,
a bit strange.
Yeah, you don't really hear of it repairing itself. Like, you don't.
I think friendship's a very hard thing to repair. I think relationships, I think any kind of like, I think, to be honest, it's hard to repair with a boyfriend.
Mm.
I think it's harder to repair with a friend.
Yeah.
Because I think with a boyfriend, there's almost like an exchange. I think with a friend, they don't like, they're not 100% all of the time.
No, that's it. And you have, I think, so many more years on a relationship when it's friendship.
Yeah.
There's a much longer history there.
Yeah.
And there's so much more like context to it,
and I feel like you give it more chances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, you are, because you're not like, it's not as if you're going to marry the person, you know. They're not like, you're going to be your family one day.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few in the box, and obviously some of these can be very triggering, and I think a lot of people, especially like, this is what I mean about the behaviour when you were growing up, even as a teenager, because I came across a few of these, and like,
Jen's like, I know these people.
I've come across a few of these and I'm just a bit like, but I know these days they'd never, you know what I mean? They'd never act like that. It was just one of these things that was said, and it's a fucking horrible thing. So it's basically, he kept threatening to kill himself if I left.
Oh no.
10 years later, we broke up and he's still alive and kicking. Like that whole...
Why do people go to that place? I'd love to. Well, we'll chat about it more in a couple of weeks' time. But why? And I know it's a real like last ditch. It's a real coercive technique. It's a
very desperate measure.
And it unfortunately works.
Yeah.
Most of the time, because people are like, I'd rather live with him than live with the guilt.
Mm.
Or I'd rather live with them rather than live with the guilt. But it's such a manipulative, fucked up thing to do.
So manipulative. Like it's Jesus. Yeah, like you say, how do you even get to that level? But then I feel like the majority of people who have even said that to me in the past, like, they would never say it these days. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was just one of those things that you fucking said it because you knew it worked. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You didn't realise the sincerity behind it or the morbid kind of nature behind it.
Yeah. True.
You know, I'm not excusing it at all, but I do feel like there have been people who have said it and would never say it again. Like, they've realised, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just kind of a thing that people did, which is fucking weird.
It's like, obviously, they're not comparable, but it reminds me of the lying about being pregnant.
Yes.
Very same energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very, again, coercive, manipulative behaviour. Not something you're never going to have a... You're just not going to have in any way a good or healthy relationship after pulling one of those.
No, definitely not. Like, it's just, and it's kind of, what is it called? It's weaponized, I don't know, like, it's just, it's weaponized language. Like, do you know, it's just like, it's
a lot more to it than you'd think.
I know, it's so weird. And like that, a lot of young girls probably did it and would never.
Ever
these days. But it's just when I feel like this happened a lot when I was in my early 20s. I heard a lot of this sort of stuff happening, but it would never these days.
I know a couple of people who pulled it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I had one friend who pulled it quite a bit until she actually ended up pregnant.
But see, this is the thing. Like, this is what I think. It was one of those things that people just didn't even think about the sincerity behind it. They were just like, oh fuck it, I'll say it and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, didn't... Not necessarily evil people, you know.
Just
really fucking into the person. Too into them, do you know?
Toxic friendship. I have a friend who makes everything about her, regardless of what it is. Any story or topic, she always makes it about her. She never asks a question about you when she speaks. She made a speech at my wedding. I didn't. My husband didn't, and we didn't have a bridal party. We were meant to elope, but because of COVID, we got married on the beach near our house, and we just had drinks with friends after. We live abroad. There was not meant to be speeches of any kind. We didn't have our families there, so I did not want it to be a wedding as such. When I went into labour, she kept showing up at my house, dropping off food and offering, "Let me know what you need me to do." She wasn't asked to do anything at all, and I wasn't even responding to her messages. When the baby arrived, she told the story about how she was keeping us fed and watered the whole time I was in labour. She then also told us that she walked around our house and saw me in labour getting into the car to go to the hospital. The list goes on and on, but I'm so over it. It's not really a friendship I can exit from. I have put boundaries in place and it's taken a few years, but slowly getting there. Oh God, that's when it really gets toxic, isn't it? Because it's like, I don't want to be here, but I cannot get rid of you. But here's all the things, and I've made peace with myself not being able to get rid of you. But by God, you wind me the fuck up.
Yeah, they're really annoying traits in a person. So annoying.
And there's plenty of friendships out there that you can't exit from. And I totally sympathise.
Yeah.
Because there really is. And I know a few people, there's a few people that I know that are in, that are almost in circles like that, where I'm like, you're so stung, I feel so sorry for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's nothing you can do about this.
I know. See, that person as well, like, I know we're kind of taking the piss saying it's so irritating, but that person is just genuinely mad about herself and delighted with herself just being that.
She's probably quite disillusioned about what the friendship is and her position in that's the friendship. What I mean. I think that's it. Like, she probably thinks she's a little bit more important to you.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Again, you really go back to it being sad.
I know, that's what I mean. I'm kind of like, do I feel sorry for the person? But at the same time, that would wreck me head. And they do need to kind of be aware of their own behaviour. Like, there's a few situations I've ever been in where I'm just like, you're a bit too familiar. This is not our relationship. Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, it's just so awkward.
Over familiarity for me.
I know. You nearly kind of look at them as if to say, oh God, they're not well. Do you know? In that way, which is, it's sad, but if you were to ever say it to her, she'd be like, actually, I genuinely think the person would be heartbroken.
Yeah.
Do you know? Yes, that's why I kind of feel sad for her in a way.
It's not your responsibility.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not.
It's not.
No. And it's not normal behaviour to be.
No.
No. Putting yourself in somebody else's sitch.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, here we go. I love that. Oh, here we go.
Here we fucking go.
I was 19 or 20. I got with the nice guy. You know, the one. And he was 2 years older than me and literally obsessed, which was grand for the first couple of months until it was an absolute intense obsession. Would get annoyed when I had to study after work or do assignments. Oh. Would be always be like, I'll collect you and bring you home, but then be pissed off that I didn't invite him in. Then he'd always accuse me of cheating. Okay, girls, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not even going to move any further before I say, if he is accusing you of cheating, the call is coming from inside the house.
Yeah.
This chap is ripping you off or doing something that he is. It doesn't come off nowhere. It's not. We've done a cheating episode. Go back and listen to it. There's a lot of insecurity that is based in cheating, but it's that same insecurity that makes them ask you these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like insecurity mixed with their own guilty conscience. And yeah. They're almost trying to demonize you to be like, well, if I'm at this shit, you must be. Anyway, and it goes along with the love bombing. Always, I manipulate him into feeling sorry for him. He'd be annoyed if I didn't invite him out with me. And sometimes he'd just conveniently show up. Sorry, another thing that I would like to say is they love to do that too. And then again, love bomb you. So you're like, nah, he's obsessed with me. He'd never rip me off.
Yeah.
Like 99% of the time, he is out doing bits. Best believe. Couldn't handle his drink, which was a total ick, but whenever I tried to break up with him, it was just another I do everything for you and then some tears. So I'd feel absolutely terrible because deep down he was a nice guy. Also didn't quite get that no means no. Again, they're so good at it.
This fella's a walking red flag.
Yeah, there's so many stories I could go into, like him showing up at my job when I wouldn't text him back.
Fuck.
And another, oh my god, and another time he told me that his friend, who was a solid two, said he was too good for me. I swear I was just out dancing with my friends, and my boyfriend at the time had made up some massive scenario in his head, probably because he was conducting that scenario in his bed. So that's probably why. Probably what happened there. One night he was at some gig in the Three Arena and wanted me to go to meet him after to go back to his. So he expected me to leave my gaff, bus into town, get the bus out of town to sleep in a single bed with him. And when I didn't, of course, he made up in his head that I was out cheating. He was so intense as well. I'm lucky I got out after a year because his next girlfriend had his babies and I really hope she's okay.
Oh, God.
And then she sent us a meme and it was a tweet. She sent us a tweet that said, when I watched Ratatouille, I was like, there's no way that rat could control that guy. And then I remembered, I let a rat control me for a year and a half.
Yeah. Oh, it's... Isn't it, but then at the time, when you're in these situations, you're kind of like... He's obsessed with me.
That's what I mean. You're like, he's obsessed.
They're blinded
they
by the love.
Amp
like.
Up that so they can also be at the other crack.
Yeah.
And if they're not out now cheating, they're definitely doing something dodge, as in they're probably texting birds or on some sites or whatever else like that.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, that Facebook group has opened my eyes to some shit that has gone on in people's lives.
Yeah, I know. What some people go through is a bit like...
No, it's really rocked me. As in, yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I would go so far, unpopular opinion, bonus one, because it's Carla's this week. 75% of one half of a relationship are sociopaths. Mostly, not all men, but it's always men. It's always men. No, there's someone.
Oh no, there was a woman who posted earlier, and I was like, "Girl, you are." She got slaughtered in the comments, and I was like, "Girl, you
was
are."
Was this the in shape guy and the out shape guy? Yeah, I'm sorry. I was like,
"Girl, you need to. Girl, your head needs to be checked. Girl,
you need to go to therapy, girl."
Yeah.
Jesus.
Fuck. Fuck. My God. Fuck.
Bobby says to me the other day, right, bit lighthearted after all that seriousness, he loves repeating when somebody says a bad word, but he doesn't say like, oh, daddy said a bad word in the van. He'll repeat it like numerous times so that he gets, you know, it's like he's on his chest and he needs to get out. And he came up with the best, I'm going to start using it. He's like, Sean, my dad said in the van the other day, and I says, what? And he goes, Genie Macar's fuck. It's like, it's not a bad one.
It's not a bad one at all.
Adam would never say Genie Mackers. Never. Ever.
So he was just trying to tack it on.
Yeah,
to
absolutely.
See that, okay,
he was just wanted to say it.
He was like, giving you the side eye. It was Genie Mackers, fuck.
Yeah, Genie Mackers, fuck. And I was like, that's actually a stomper.
I'm loving that.
And I was like, no, he didn't. And then he started pissing himself off. And then I started, it was funny. Anyway, little six factor here, and then we'll go on to wrap up now, because we need to record our Patreon. Hey girls, I was in a toxic relationship, emotionally / mentally abusive relationship for about 3 years. Broke me and affected all of my other relationships. He forced me to end friendships. And you alright?
I am.
What?
I'm just trying to load up.
Oh, something for the... Oh, yeah, you're... Sorry. Sorry, let me start that again. So he broke me, affected all of my other relationships. He forced me to end friendships and tried to stop me seeing my family. Took me over a year to build up the courage to leave, and it was not easy. He would be super nice for a while. Sorry, these are all separate in the question box. That's why I'm kind of breaking it up, and I can't read. That's why I get the box, because they're all little ones.
Jen was like, and you
sorry,
can
I'm trying
that?
To break the tension as well. I'm really like find this hard to navigate, fucking hell. Super nice to me for a while, and then would turn on me once he realized he wasn't getting anywhere. He threatened to kill himself and used the son as a way to guilt trip me.
Whoa.
Best advice: tell people what you're going through. Go no contact ASAP if you can, which is difficult if you have kids. But at the very least, block them on all socials. It's so, so hard, but you won't look back and won't recognise yourself. The best thing I ever did was get out. So there's a bit of advice to somebody who's clearly been through it.
I love the advice. Like, I love the way it's like, no,
yeah,
do it. You're going to believe me. It's
I
shy,
love that.
Do
yeah.
it. I love the kind of like, this is...
The other side, it's the hindsight talking.
The best
to
way
you.
Forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We did an episode about ghosting before, and we kind of spoke a little bit about
just cutting ties.
Cutting ties with toxic people. Mm. And while I see so many conflicting opinions about it, but sometimes you have to, you know, in the words of Liv on Love Island looking for a fella, I have to look after. There's only one person I have to look after in here, and it's me. I was like, are you not here for a relationship? But okay.
Yeah.
In a way, though, it applies to this situation, because there is.
Yeah.
Like, if it helps you to get over that, and maybe it could be a case, like, it's not fair. Mm. It's not right, but it's okay.
Yeah, I know. I think in some situations, it's the context of every situation. Like, if you're in a... But you never know until it's hindsight again. If there's a misunderstanding and somebody goes, somebody's like, oh, I did it for that. I was like, oh, shit, I didn't realise it because of that. You know, that kind of, whereas if it's a clear, like, he's a fucking toxic, he's like, somebody is going to probably not survive this. That's the time, you know. But again, it's not that easy. But just take it from our listener. She's your hindsight speaking. You have an unpopular opinion?
I do. You know those little things that just send you west? I'm about to tell you one of them. But you know, like, irrationally west.
Yeah.
Like, when you see it, you freeze up.
Yeah.
And you nearly fling the phone across the room. You're so aggro.
Yeah.
When Americans call pasta noodles. Oh my God.
Right. Sorry, I'm just readjusting my baseline for you in your temper.
Oh, that's my God.
The worst thing.
Oh, it's so irritating. I'm like, why are you calling it noodles? It's fucking pasta.
Yeah.
And I know they're like pasta noodles. No, it's pasta. Come
on. Yeah, yeah. No, it's a different, yeah. Yeah, no,
I know where it comes from. You know what it's called in the country. Right. Call it what it's called.
Spaghetti.
It's skate. Spit penne. Fusilli.
The fuck.
Come on.
Carbonara. The fuck. There's all
get
different
your
names
noodles.
For
it. Oh, you could be making like, you could be making the most beautiful and I will, I'm gone.
You've scrolled. Lost me.
I'm gone.
Yeah, okay.
I've deleted, I've blocked you. You're not even aware.
No, there was a massive difference, yeah, between...
They noodles.
They look the same. They're made out of egg. And pasta's not. Just flour and all shit involved in that. So there you go. Is it?
Yeah.
So then, are they wrong?
Yes. Noodle doesn't mean egg. I don't know the correlation there.
There's egg
noodles are
egg
totally.
Noodles.
Yeah, there's egg noodles. Yeah, yeah, but that's more to do with ingredients.
Is it
less
not
to do with
the same dough? It's not the same dough.
Jen, it's not the same fucking thing. It's not the same recipe. It's not the way. It's not anything to do with noodles. Noodles are, we know what noodles are, right?
What
we
are
were
they?
Introduced to them back in the day, probably at around 12, coca noodles. We were eating them in school, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't where noodles came from. We were eating them out of the Chinese before that, but we didn't know what was going on. We just thought your dad was a bit weird ordering something a bit fancy, right? Yeah. We know what noodles are. Noodles are a totally, totally, they're more of an Asian Thai cuisine.
You'd
see it, is not
you'd
that.
See, you'd see a noodle nest of noodles.
You see a nest of fine noodles. I have some in the press. They're beautiful.
You wouldn't see
You're
a nest
not,
of spaghetti.
You know, you wouldn't see a sketty nest. No, you wouldn't. And it drives me balubas.
I want to know what the difference is with the ingredients of the, like, if you're making it from scratch, though. Because I don't think they're 100% wrong. Well, no,
they are 100% wrong.
They're not.
You have to use a pasta flour. Like, there is a specific
right.
pasta flour.
Okay.
But I can't get on board with it, Jen.
Right, oh, fair enough. That's like, it's your opinion. It's your unpopular opinion. You go with it. Have you got a stomper? So we can cheer you up a little bit.
I'm actually Googling this now because you're annoying me.
What's the difference between?
Noodles are made with flour, flour milled from common wheat. Pasta is processed from durum semolina, which is coarser than typical flour. And you process it totally different because they taste fucking different.
I know they taste different. I was just
so
like...
So why are you sitting there as if it's fine? You see them making a beautiful carbonara sauce and they're like, I'm going to go grab my noodles. And you don't automatically think of pot noodle?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
Super and you're sitting noodles. There going, I still enjoy this? No.
It's the same shape. No, you don't sit there. Right.
You don't enjoy it. I know you.
I don't watch recipes. That's the thing. Like, this is
you
otherworldly
do.
For me.
You do.
You know exactly what I mean. Agree with me. Switch on green.
I'm fucking human. That's a reaction. I can't believe you didn't just turn around and automatically go, sure.
Yeah. No. Look it. You're not wrong.
I'm fucking
right. It doesn't send me as west. Probably southwest, you know. Probably
come. On the side.
On the side. Northwest, a little bit. Just a little bit to the side. Have you got a stomp on me to you up a little bit? You're already after... Don't look at me like that! You're already after playing a little bit of it and I'm just like, I already know I'm not going to like it. Go on.
Kyla's Stomper of the Week. I was actually going to say I'm not going to do Stomper of the Week anymore.
Oh, are you not?
Because...
Oh, shit, I didn't mean... Ah, no.
Every time I do, I just can't with your fucking vacant expression.
That's the... Let's give us feedback. What do you think of Kyla's Stompers? Because, you know...
Because I've only gotten good from listeners. I've only gotten bad from you.
Is Is it me? Am I the problem?
Yeah, it is. You're the problem.
All right, go on, play. Let's see.
Anyway, it's called Must Be. It's by Lou Phelps. It's just, it's again, it's a good walking song, song in the car, something to lighten the mood, something to make you happy.
I swear I'm not an alcoholic. My nigga just love the party. I swear I'm not an info. But baby, let me please get your info. What? Hey,
shit, it's a
must be a joke. Must be, might be the jack in the coke.
It isn't a joke.
It is a buff. What would you play? What would you play right now? And you can't say Maniac 2000.
No, hang on. Hang on a sec now. You have to put me on the spot now. Hang on.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
Exactly.
Genie Macker's fuck.
Genie Macker's fuck.
Hang on. What's the latest thing I added to feeling blame and rap it? Hang on a sec. But obviously I'm not going to be connected to this. I'll just have to go raw. Hang on. Oh, my phone's on silent.
Oh, my God. Sorry. And she critiques me.
Oh, my God.
Don't tell me this.
Oh, still, what?
What's going on, Jen?
What's going on? I'm playing Black Betty. It's over. It's done. The moment is past. We're fucking shy at this.
Speak for yourself.
We're shy at podcasting. This is for a serious episode. This was a mess. We'll do better next time, guys, I promise. We have to go and record another fucking episode now, Jesus Christ. Hopefully it's a little bit better. Come and join us on Patreon if you want to see how we get on. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.